is all about how on the third day, Jesus rose. The Bible says that, although with him dying on the cross, along with him dying on the cross, the fact that Jesus rose on the third day is something of first importance, one of the most important things that there is to believe. But that raises lots of important questions. How can we know it's true? How can we know it really happened? I mean, lots of people say, nah, it didn't happen, don't they? Well, the answer is, there were eyewitnesses who saw him alive. That's how we know it's really true. Now, we've read about those eyewitnesses in the Bible, that the passages that we read earlier, we have the names of some of those witnesses on the screen now. Yes, there they are. Oh, good. That's nice to see. And we have them here in person. Did you know that? Some eyewitnesses of the resurrection. So I wonder if the six eyewitnesses of the resurrection that we have would come and join us on stage. Thank you very much. Okay, now you all know where you're supposed to be standing, don't you? Yeah? Thank you very much. All nicely in place. Okay then, now, we're going to hear what they have to say, and then we have to work out which ones they stand for, all right? So first of all, we'll just listen to all of them, and then we'll go back and work out who they actually are. Okay then, witness number one.
We saw him first, but nobody would believe us.
Ah, I wonder who that was. Okay then. Okay then. Witnesses number two. Off you go.
We saw him still alive to prove it. Mostly, we can't all be mad.
Now I wonder who they stand for. Oh, well, we'll find that out in a minute. Okay, then, witness number three, you've got a microphone right next to you. Why don't you use that?
I knew Jesus all my life. I never expected this to happen. I thought he'd gone mad.
Ah, I see. Who might have thought that Jesus had gone mad? Okay, then, eyewitness number four.
I thought the Jesus story was a dangerous lie. I was ready to kill all those who told it.
Oh, I wonder who that could have been, hey? I wonder who that could have been. Right then, witness number five.
When we heard that Jesus had risen, we just couldn't believe it. Now we feel a bit stupid.
I see. I wonder which one that could be. Now, witness number six.
We are so sure that Jesus is risen, we are willing to die to tell people about it.
Right. We are so sure that Jesus is risen, we're willing to die to tell people about it. See, I wonder if you can work out which of these witnesses is which. Okay, stand up. Let's work through them again. And let's see if you can work out who they are. Okay, then. First of all, then, witness number one. Let's hear again.
We saw him first, but nobody would believe us.
Ah. I wonder which of these Bethan is standing for. Okay, Daniel, you're jumping up and down. You must know.
Mary,
that's right. Bethan is standing for Mary and the women. Now, they were the first people to see that Jesus had risen from the dead. But we need to know that in those days, women were not considered important or reliable at all. Nobody took the words of women seriously, and their witness didn't even count in court. If the Bible stories were made up, if they were invented, then the writers wouldn't have put women as the first witnesses of the resurrection, because who would pay them any attention at all? So that's our first clue, that these stories in the Bible haven't been invented. Okay then, the second batch of witnesses, are you ready? Off you go!
We saw him together and are still alive to prove it. Mostly, we can't all be mad.
Okay, so which of the witnesses are they standing for on this list? You can press one switch so we can have Mary and the women come up, please. There we go. Okay, right, so who are this lot now? Who are they all being? Him, yep. No, it's not Peter and the 12. Who else might they be? Does anybody have a guess? Oh, I see a hand up at the back. Yes, Rosie? They're 500 brothers, that's right. Did you notice how in 1 Corinthians 15 it says that after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep? Yeah, which means he died. Yeah. That means at the time the story of the resurrection was being written down, there were hundreds of people still around to confirm that it was true, that they'd seen Jesus, not just a handful of them making it up. And another thing, some people say that the risen Jesus was just a hallucination, just something people made up in their imaginations. Well, sometimes individuals have hallucinations, don't they, perhaps? But do 500 people have a hallucination all at once? I don't think so. I think he's going to be dead for a while now, isn't he? He's very, very good at it. If anybody sees him move, you tell me, all right? Okay, then, witness number 3, please. Use your microphone.
I knew Jesus all my life. I never expected this to happen. I thought he'd gone mad.
Okay, I'm starting to narrow down the number of witnesses. Which one could this one be? Which one could this one be? It's a more difficult one. Anybody know? James. Are you James? Yes, you are. That's right. Now, this isn't James the Apostle. This was James, Jesus' younger brother. Now, he had known Jesus all his life, but James didn't understand what was special about Jesus. He didn't know who he was. In fact, in the Bible, we find that most of Jesus' family thought that Jesus had gone absolutely crazy. They came to take him away. Yet later on, we find that James became very important in the church. He even wrote a book of the Bible. What was it that changed his mind? It was meeting the risen Jesus, his brother. And here's another thing. There's no way that James, Jesus' brother, could be fooled that it was somebody else, could he? He knew exactly what Jesus looked like. He wasn't going to be persuaded it was someone else pretending to be him. Okay then, witness number 4.
I thought the Jesus story was a dangerous lie. I was ready to kill all those who told it.
Okay. I don't think it's too hard to work out who this one is. Is it? Nor why I chose this one to act it out. Yes, who is he? Hey? Paul, that's right. This is Paul, the great enemy and persecutor of the church, but who came to be one of its greatest leaders and wrote most of the New Testament. He was so certain that Jesus was a lie, the Jesus story was a lie, he would happily punish and kill Christians. Who could possibly have changed his mind? Well, Jesus did. He met him alive. Okay then, witness number 5.
When we heard that Jesus had risen, we just couldn't believe it. Now we feel a bit stupid.
So, who couldn't believe it and perhaps felt a bit stupid afterwards? Ooh, well, I know you know, Johnny. Anybody who's not answered the question yet? There's only 2 choices here. Although they're sort of similar. What do you think it is? I'm thinking of those for the next one, all right? So he's actually thinking about Peter and the 12. But you're right, he's one of the apostles, so that's quite right. Peter and the 12, here we go. Jesus had warned them several times he would die and then be risen, but they just couldn't accept it. Even when the women came and told them, they wouldn't believe it. So they didn't make up the story because they were expecting it to happen. Exactly the opposite. They weren't expecting it to happen. And another thing too. If you were going to make up the New Testament, would you record so many stories that made the main leaders look so daft and useless? No, you wouldn't, would you? Yet, the New Testament records all their weaknesses and all their stupidities, doesn't it? Okay, one more, and you've got the microphone there. Sophie, thank you.
We are so sure that Jesus is risen, we are willing to die to tell people about it.
Great, thank you. And there's no surprise which one that stands for. Can we have that up? Thank you. The apostles were willing to die. And this is perhaps the most convincing reason for me for believing. After they'd spent 40 days with the risen Jesus, then received the Holy Spirit, the apostles, Jesus' disciples, went out into the world to tell the story. As far as we know, all but one of them died because of the message they were telling. Not one of them caved in and said, "No, all right, I admit it, we made the whole thing up." The same goes for thousands of the early Christians. Now then, many people will die for what they believe is true. But who would die for a story that they know isn't true? That they've made up themselves? I wouldn't. Would you? So here we have good reasons to believe the story of Easter. All these different witnesses who saw Jesus alive. And this matters. It's something of first importance. The Creed says, on the third day he rose. And in the passage we read earlier, it said similar. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So we know all about this because the Bible tells us. But here are three questions we need to ask about anything we read. We need to ask, is it true? Is it interesting? And does it matter to me? Right? And this Easter day, I want to ask those questions about the Easter Bible story. Now, I've got three other books to help me by comparison. Here we have some stories. The Hobbit, The Last Battle. Has anybody read these? Yeah, some of you? Okay, good. What else have we got? We've got the phone book. And where is the other one? Does it always fall on the ground? And the Handy Road Atlas of Great Britain, A to Z. Anybody read these? Yes. You probably memorized them, haven't you? Useful, aren't they, though? And we also have some holiday brochures. Ooh, in Malta, somewhere like that. Who would like to have one of these and the money to actually to use it? I think most of us, wouldn't we? Now, let's ask the question, first of all, is the story true? Let's make a comparison. So here we have The Hobbit and the Last Battle, one of the Narnia stories. Are these stories interesting? Yes. This one's more interesting. That's a little bit boring sometimes, it has to be said. But anyway, they're interesting, aren't they? Are these stories relevant to me? Well, maybe. They certainly help me to think and understand true things. But the big question is, are these stories true? No, they weren't. They aren't true. There isn't really a Narnia. There isn't really a Hobbit, very sadly. So I can't believe and put my faith in Aslan. I can't believe and put my faith in Bilbo Baggins, can I? But did Jesus really rise again according to the scriptures? Well, we've already had good reasons to see that from the New Testament. But that isn't actually what we're talking about here. Paul means the Old Testament. And the resurrection is there too. It's not mentioned that much, but it's there. Here are three examples. First of all, from Isaiah chapter 53, please. This is Isaiah chapter 53, which talks about Jesus dying. And you'll see there, highlighted in bold, it says, "After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied." So in Isaiah 53, it talks about Jesus being resurrected. Another one, one of the Psalms, Psalm 16. David here says, talking about Jesus, looking ahead, he says, "You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay." So he talks about the resurrection as well. But perhaps the most interesting of these is this one. Oh, which story is this one? Yeah, Sophie. Jonah and the whale. That's right. This is the one that Jesus used the most to talk about what would happen to him. Jesus said this. Next slide up, thank you. "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." He'll be buried for 3 days and three nights and then rise again. And this is where you even get that on the third day he rose from. That's where that comes from in the Old Testament. So this is all the more reason to believe that this book is true. It writes the story before it happened as well as after it happened. So, this book is true, whereas these ones, good as they are, aren't. But the next question then, that can go off now, thank you. Is it interesting? So here we have another example to compare it with. These books here, phone book and A to Z. Now they're true, aren't they, broadly speaking? A few of them change over time, but they're true. Do they matter? Well, kind of, if you want to find your way or you need to find out a phone number. Are they interesting? Is anybody willing to admit that they find a phone book interesting? I don't think so. You never sit down and read it, do you? Unless you're really, really weird. But that's not the case with the Easter story. In fact, with the whole Bible story, it is the most interesting story of them all. Of course, it needs some explaining. Of course, some bits are hard. But once you've got past that, how can you not be interested in this story about the person who is God and man at the same time, who dies for other people's sins and sorrows, and then rises again from the dead, the only person ever to do so, and a true story that really happened? How can you not be interested in that? If you realise how brilliant the story is and that it's really true, then you're more sad than the guy who reads phone books if you ignore it, aren't you? So read it, discover it, and explore it. And if you haven't read it, if you haven't read it before, then read it for the first time. If you have read it before, then read it again. So it's interesting, like the storybook, but it's also true. It's true, like the phone book, but it's also interesting, like the storybook. But we have one more example. The holiday brochures. Are they true? Sometimes, kinda. You can't rely on everything, can you? But broadly speaking, they have some connection with the truth, yeah? Are they interesting? Yeah, if you want looking for a holiday. But does it really, really matter? Is it really, really important and necessary that you read these holiday brochures? No, it's not, is it? Not really, sadly. You don't actually need these. You can actually manage without them. In the end, if you need a holiday, you can just go and put up a tent in Munsley or something, can't you? Just as good. But that's not so with the Easter story. It's something we really do need. It's something that affects us and changes us forever. It says that in the text we read earlier, by this gospel, by this good news, we are saved. What are we saved from? Well, just think about all the reasons that we can praise God for Easter. Some of them we mentioned at the start of our service. Our sins forgiven. Death defeated. sicknesses healed, evil in our world conquered, national differences between people reconciled, sorrows turned to joy, gloom turned to hope, darkness turned to light, a broken world remade, and our future made secure. Now, doesn't that matter to you? Wouldn't that make a difference to you? Aren't those things that you want and need? There are no alternative gospels, no substitutes just as good. We have a need to be forgiven and reconciled with God and set free from the fear of death. And only Jesus Christ can do that for us. And only because he died for us and rose again. So this is a matter of first importance. By this gospel, we are saved. Jesus Christ died for us according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Only because he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead, can we be saved. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that Jesus rose again and for all the wonderful things he achieved for us through his death and his resurrection. We praise you that because of him, our sins can we be forgiven and we are reconciled to you as our Heavenly Father through faith. We praise you that because he rose again, death as a whole is defeated. And by believing in him, we need not fear it at all. We praise you that because he rose again, all sickness will one day be healed and our broken bodies will be remade fresh and new and undying. We thank you that because he rose again, we know that the devil and all evil has been conquered and destroyed and can never again affect us. We praise you that because he's risen again, people from every nation can be reconciled, their differences taken away, and that they can be made brothers and sisters. We praise you that because he's risen again, sorrow is turned to joy, gloom is turned to hope, darkness is turned to light, our world is remade, and our future is secure. We thank you that Jesus rose again. Amen.